For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Olivia Aldridge, and this is Narrative, presenting personal reflections from the victims of South Carolina's thousand-year flood last October. Today we hear from Tamika Frazier, a single mother living with multiple disabilities that make work difficult. She and her 9-year-old son, Zaire, were staying with her foster mom and navigating the process of finding affordable housing in Columbia when the floods came. After the flood, housing became even more competitive, and Tamika was forced to look outside Columbia. We recorded where the Fraziers now live, in Sumter, where Tamika reflected on their recovery and continued hardships in the flood's aftermath.
When the flood had came, we couldn't do anything but sit in the house. A lot of roads had collapsed, a lot of floods in different areas. I had my stuff stored at different places in Columbia. When the flood came, everything gone. There wasn't no baby pictures, nothing. Basically, all what me and my son had was two suitcases and my pink duffel bag that had all my medication and my nebulizer machine. That's all we had. At the time, being at my foster mom's house, people who I store my stuff at, I'm calling like, look, is everything all right over there? You know, some people don't want to give you bad news because they know that's hurtful. It's still giving me.
My mother died when I was 4 years old, so I really didn't know her.
Pictures are very sentimental. You can never get those kind of memories back. You know, I really didn't know my mom at all. I just know what she looked like. When that happened, that put me in like a depression mode. I didn't want to be bothered with nobody. I didn't want to talk to nobody. Things that you cannot replace will always be in the back of your mind, the memories. And to know that, especially I had to move from Columbia to come here just in order to find a place to stay, because when that happened, they definitely didn't have nowhere for too much of anybody to go, because we had so many families that lost everything. And I started reaching out, started asking questions. Then I came in contact with Miss Beth. When I walked in the door to go pick up like house supplies and stuff like that, it was this lady, Miss Beth. She was standing there just smiling. She was like, come in. And she was like, Tamika. I looked at her, I was like, how you know? She said, I don't forget a voice. And I was like, wow, she hugged me. That made me feel so awesome to know that we still have people out here that has a heart to help and to show love. I hugged her and told her, thank you. She helped us with clothes, shoes, coats for the winter. So many things she did, and within a matter of moments in time. At the end of the year, at that time in November, it just felt like everything was falling in place. And when I came here, you know, it may not be the best house, but it's somewhere for us to stay. It's just wherever you go, you're gonna have someone that's a bad apple out the whole bunch. And all we had to hear was gunshots one time. My son don't even go outside. If he goes, he'll go out there for maybe 5 minutes. 5 minutes and back in the door. He won't leave out the house. Not unless we going somewhere. Other than that, he will not go and play. You can hear gunshots like it sounds like it's right in your backyard. Me and my son stay in one room of the house, and that's my bedroom. Yes, my 9-year-old sleeps with me because the bullet don't have a name on it, and you don't know which direction it's coming. So I just be like, somebody show me a way to find something else.
That was Tamika Frazier, who relocated after October's flood to a community where she has experienced both kindness and fear. For low-income individuals like Tamika, the hardships of the flood aren't over yet. Tamika's story is part of our ongoing series, Narrative, a collection of interviews with survivors of the flood. This interview is archived on our website, southcarolinapublicradio.org. For South Carolina Public Radio, I'm Olivia Aldridge.